15 to 20 million jobs.
What about this?
I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area. As you know, we can be heard on the broadcast signal throughout southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware, but people from anywhere in the USA can tune in simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link between 11 and 12 noon. If you have Alexa, say Alexa, 860 AM radio, and you'll come right to our broadcast every Wednesday between 11 AM and 12 noon. Today, ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to tell you that all of our panel members are with us. We're going to have a very interesting show because some interesting things took place, but a very interesting event took place yesterday evening. Now, our broadcast is devoted to American workers, support American Made First, and everything that helps people be closer to jobs, job skills, and being able to support themselves. I'm very pleased to say that today we have Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, national small business advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and also Curtis Ellis, who is with President Trump's America First Project. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash, always pleased to be with you. Before I turn to our panel members, I want to take a minute or two. I watched President Trump's State of the Union speech yesterday, and I did always watch the President's State of the Union over the years because I'm involved in community events and I want to know what's going on. President Trump gave viewers an overview of his administration's accomplishments during the last 3 years, and I really listened with great interest. It was good to hear that America is doing better. I haven't heard that in a lot of president's speeches in the past, but it's doing better, and that's important to me because the United States has been growing in population, and it needs jobs, not expanding welfare programs to take care of its people. Now, I also heard President talking that America is first. That really pleased me very much. And a great statement made by President Trump was, "The best is yet to come." And that's what we all want for our families, our children, our grandchildren, and also their children and their grandchildren. Who would want otherwise? Now, I was disappointed, however, at the actions of the person who sat behind the president, Nancy Pelosi. She was angered, quite frankly, that a non-politician was able to bring major and positive changes to our United States during a three-year period. She was filled, as far as I could see, with envy, and everyone that watched saw it for themselves. She demonstrated for me, and probably for all of you, why America didn't move forward over the years, because those people, most of those people, wanted the past to reign. They wanted politics, not leadership. Unfortunately, we all watched a person consumed by hate and envy, so resentful of the success of the Trump administration. Nancy showed us firsthand that she is jealous of another person's success. As far as I'm concerned, every person that contacted me, every person I saw this morning, said her actions and reactions were shameful. She was classless, especially when she ripped the speech up. She looks ill, and possibly it may be time for her to consult with a new exorcist. Let's go to Rich.
Hi, Michael. Good morning, and good morning to our listeners. And if I may, Michael, I could make a quick comment, please, on the Iowa caucuses regarding what happened with the results, etc. There, so the what happened as a follow up to our conversation last week is the Iowa caucus affirms that we are very, 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 very far away from electronic voting. We're probably somewhere between light years and infinity away from it. That's how far away we are from electronic voting. Ironically, because I'm a fan of irony, Michael, ironically, what happened in Iowa, Larkin, also further affirms and is additional evidence, not that we needed more, but it's additional evidence about the importance of enforcing voter ID laws, for example, Michael. The importance of purging voter rolls, which I know we have some disagreement on that on the show, and that's fine. But all of it affirms that, Michael. So everything that happened in Iowa shows that we're very, very, very far away from electronic voting, how important it is to have voter ID laws, how important it is to have clean voter rolls. All of that combined resulted in what's happening with Iowa. Now, that's if you take that approach. If one's a conspiracy theorist and believes it was set up that way, rigged that way, my answer is always the same. Show me the evidence. If you show me the evidence it was, then we'll talk. Until then, Michael, I go with what is in front of me, what I know. So that's there. Now, regarding last night's State of the Union address, I'm going to make a point about Nancy Pelosi, then I'll talk about the speech. So here's my point, Michael, about Nancy Pelosi. And let me preface by saying I am not an ageist. I am not an ageist. Nancy Pelosi next month is going to be 80 years old. She is a soon-to-be octogenarian grandmother who led an impeachable, offense-less impeachment. That anyone actually supports Pelosi is irrefutable proof, irrefutable, Michael, that it is easier to fool some people than to convince them that they have been fooled. Nancy Pelosi has been the United States representative for 12,000 consecutive days, Michael. That's 1,000 more days than Stalin was in his tenure in the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. America's problem right now, Michael, everyone regurgitates the problems, but what's the answer, the solution? Well, I believe, you know, my contribution in all of this is that we need to make America grown up again. That is the call. I believe it's the cause, because the ripping up of the speech, Michael, is what is done to appeal to a base of voters around the country who are adult-aged men and women who are still living in a world like when they were 4 years old. That's the actual problem. In my opinion, that's my contribution. That's what 10 warning signs your child is becoming a Democrat, how to make America grown up again, is about. It tries to tackle that question. Regarding the president, this is going to sound like almost a cultish type statement, Michael. Sun Tzu, the Art of War author, is believed to have lived approximately 4,000 years ago. So if you do the math, 4,000 years ago is like a million and a half days ago. The president is the greatest political genius since Sun Tzu. So much to the point that in a respectful way, Michael, I envy the president's ability. I envy it. The ability that he has to embed himself deep in the bowels of the psyches of these people. And what's it all over, Michael? What is the actual opposition all about? Because what I saw last night was a State of the Union that always, states of the Union, Michael, are always about pomp and circumstance, aren't they?
Absolutely.
They're always about recognizing, you know, President Obama recognized veterans at prior States of the Union. We had a lieutenant come home. We have children who are now, because of school choice, they're going to now, in Philadelphia, by the way, a bastion of high quality education publicly, now she's going to have a LOL. Now she's going to have a chance to go to another school. Rush Limbaugh, whether you like the guy or not, if you hate him, if you love him, Michael, Rush Limbaugh is the godfather of right-leaning conservative media. He is Don Corleone, the godfather. He's Vito Andolini, the original godfather, the most successful radio host in the history of the medium, more than Stern, more than Don Imus, rest in peace, etc. We recognized people last night, Michael. And what happened at the end is a telling indicator. It is a telling indicator that the opposition party knows that they don't have a viable alternative. That's what it reflects. The president always brings the A game in the State of the Union. And the fact is, Michael, last point, this is for the voters to decide. If you feel like we're going in the right direction, there's still work to do. We've got economic work to do, educational work to do, foreign policy work to do. If you feel like we're going in the right direction, I realize you may not like everything we know, blah, blah, blah. Are we going in the right direction yet? So do we have your support, right? If our swing voter in a swing state on our show, right? We're looking to gain support, build up the army, Michael. So if you feel like we're going in the right direction, we need to have you on board. Democrats move in a singular direction, Michael, toward a singular goal. That singular goal in November isn't to strengthen the country, make the borders more secure, get working families making more money, saving more money. That's not the goal. The goal is to oust the president. You understand that, right, Michael?
Absolutely.
And it's not anything else. Except
it's envy. It's the envy that I saw with those people, that all this greatness was able to be accomplished in 3 years. I mean, first of all, many of those people need to step out with honor. They should, you know, just say, I'm not going to run anymore. Let some new people come into the House and Senate. Some of them are just, they're classless anymore. I mean, you talk about Nadler and Schiff and Nancy Pelosi, who really has to consult with a new exorcist. They all need to step out and say, we already did what we could. I was pleased that the president gave credit to the American people for helping to make major changes happen right here in America. I was glad because that includes us, people like us on American Workers Radio, urging people to go out and support American workers, look for labels, shop local. I thought the president's address was great. It was not a wish list. It was a report card on events and efforts working together came about as a result of all of us working together. It came about. He didn't take credit. I did. No, he said, thanks to the people, my administration consists of many people. That was the difference in yesterday's speech. And that I've listened to many presidents' State of the Union addresses over the years. Most of them were wish lists, and most were forgotten 2, 3, 5 days after the speech was given. This was a report card. I thought it was great. Curtis, what did you think?
I thought it was his best State of the Union speech ever. ever. I agree with you, Michael. Most State of the Unions are wish lists, laundry lists, not promises, but itineraries of things that will never get done, dry as dirt, as sawdust. And this was an inspiring speech. It was an amazing speech. I was in tears at points when they, you know, brought out the children of the service members, the of the man who died, who was killed, and the recovering opioid addict. It was just amazing. I was really, and I tell you personally, it was just terrific to hear the president say, unfair trade is perhaps the single biggest reason that I decided to run for president. 16 years ago, I worked for a man who ran for Congress on that singular platform, getting rid of NAFTA, standing up to China, putting tariffs on goods, bringing jobs back to America. At that point in 2004, everybody said, you're crazy. Everybody knows free trade works. Free trade is great. Our trade relations with the rest of the world are exactly the way they should be. And now we have a president who is fulfilling all those promises, all those dreams, all those wishes. It was quite amazing for me to hear him say that. And I thought it was a great speech. It reinstilled, he hit the values of what America is about, and we so desperately need that. We have the left unrelentingly attacking the very foundations of what our country stands for, of the ideals that our country was founded on, trying to tell this next generation and everybody that America is just a hopelessly racist, exploitative, horrible, horrible place. Western civilization is bankrupt based on white supremacy and blah, 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 blah. And President Trump is defending and extolling and celebrating the values, the courage, the will, the creativity, the belief in God, the essential foundations of our civilization. And I don't see anyone else. I see very few others doing that. If I can go back to Iowa for a moment, I was there last week. I was supposed to be there on Monday night for the caucuses. And luckily, I left. Something came up. I was traveling with John Fredericks, who does the John Fredericks radio show, syndicated across Virginia and a few other stations around the country. And I was supposed to be there through Tuesday, but John got a call from the Oval Office from the White House saying the president wanted to speak with him on Monday. So we all left, and it turned out to be the right thing to do, considering no one even knew what happened. Looking at what happened, as the old saying goes, it's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes. And in this case, you know, it's very interesting. The people who wrote that app, or tried to write that app, or pretended to write the app that was used to count the votes in Iowa, the head of the company is married to a senior advisor to Mayor Pete Buttigieg. So it's interesting that even at this point now, so many hours, so many days after the caucus, they've only released 71% of the vote. We don't know the whole vote total. A couple of things, observations on Iowa. We interviewed a couple of the Bernie supporters. This young couple, 26 years old, they're professionals. They work. They don't live in their parents' basement. They are from Columbus, Ohio. They raise the money among their peers and back in their hometown. They raise the money to pay for their trip to Iowa to canvass for Bernie. They're not alone. There are people from all over the country, similar situations. What this tells you is these are committed people. They have built a network of support back in their communities. These people have skin in the game, having donated money to send these folks to go canvass. They will turn out and vote, you can imagine, since they've already put their money where their mouth is. They were very articulate. They were not just spewing talking points. They compared Bernie to Trump. They were unafraid to do that. They weren't just, we hate Trump, everything Trump bad. No. They were talking about the Sanders campaign being an anti-corruption campaign at the root, which is very similar to President Trump's campaign about the rigged system. The system is rigged, my friends. The system is rigged, and we're going to fix it. They see Bernie saying the same thing. They see Bernie shaking up the Democratic Party the way President Trump shook up the Republican Party, the outsider versus the establishment. They and here was an interesting thing they said. Call Bernie crazy. We wear that as a badge of honor. We're not afraid of that. We wear that as a badge of honor. Now, I say all this because I disagree 100%, 1,000% with what Bernie Sanders stands for. But he has very committed, very enthusiastic, and very intelligent supporters, intelligent in some ways. And people who think he's going to be easy to beat, I'm not so sure. That I think it would be easier to beat Joe Biden because Joe Biden is bankrupt. He's senile. He's all kinds of things. And he doesn't inspire any enthusiasm. So it's going to be an interesting matchup if it comes down. Now, one of these, so we had the husband and wife couple, and we asked them, if Bernie doesn't get the nomination, will you come out and vote for who does? The husband said yes. The wife said no. If Bernie doesn't get the nomination, if he's denied the nomination, I'm not voting. I'm not going to vote for the nominee. So that's very interesting. So, again, it might be better if they pick a Mayor Bloomberg or a Mayor Pete or a milkmaid Amy Klobuchar or whatever, some so-called moderate. And by the way, the moderates are simply, it takes longer to get to where Bernie wants to go, right? I mean, the difference between a moderate in the Democratic Party and Bernie Sanders, the socialist, Bernie's the express train to socialism. The moderates take the local. They're all going to the same place. It just takes longer to get there. So,
you know, Curtis, you're right. And, you know, the thing is I have to give a lot of people told me that they were not happy with voting for Donald Trump and this and that. But now they're 100% committed. Most of the people that I speak to are just amazed that he did not go back on anything that he said. So many people running for political office say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And a month into them being in the White House or Senate or Congress, it's all forgotten. Right. You have to almost bang the door down to get them to remember what they said 60 days ago. Where this has been different, and that's why yesterday's report card, to me it was a report card, was so meaningful. And the people in the country saw that, wait a minute, who are we going to, why should we push this person around? I mean, bearing all in mind with what they're doing there, with this impeachment nonsense and all, first of all, I am a person who has to justify everything. So if it's something that I question, I have to ask that question. That's just how it is. If he had a question about anybody, whether it was corruption, how the money is going to be used, he should ask it. But not only he should ask it, it should have been asked by every other president that ever gave a penny of our tax dollars to any other country. I would like to see the reports on how those dollars were used, especially when it comes to a country where there is corruption. Noted. That should be a major priority. And what they did, I tell you, when I watched the poor soul. She looked like she was trying to eat herself alive up there, you know, behind Trump. It showed me first firsthand that she's so jealous of another person's success that it's shameless. It's shameless. When I picture the three of them, Schiff, Nadler, and her together, it's scary that these kind of people were actually elected to go to Washington to govern our money, our well-being. As I said in the beginning of the program, what we're watching now is a president. And if it was Barack Obama or Bush or Clinton doing the same thing, I would praise them, because that's what our broadcast is about. That's what America is about. We lost so much stuff over the years because the leader at the top didn't say, this is not what we should be doing. There was always an excuse. Oh, this is how it is. The free open market economy and all. It was always nonsense. I'm sorry. That's not the way it is. If your child falls down, you pick them up. Our businesses were falling down because they were overtaxed and overregulated. We should have picked them up 30 years ago and had them expand in this country. We would not have the poverty that we have today. We would not have been increasing in food stamps and everything else. His report card yesterday gave people hope. Shame on Nancy. As I said a few times today, she needs to consult a new exorcist, period.
Yeah. They're so consumed by hate, by the demons of hate, they've lost all perspective. People want to see the representatives they send to Washington, the people they elect, they want to see them working together, getting something done, at least trying to, or at least behaving in a civil manner.
You know, something happened.
The way they have to behave. Look, people compare themselves to work. When they go to work, they can't behave like children. They can't throw temper tantrums. Even if the boss, even if they hate the boss, even if the boss abuses them verbally, even if the boss is, you know, considered a douche, they can't. They know they have to just go along and get along and get the job done. They expect the same from the people they elect to office. And when they see these childish antics, they say, no, that's just, I couldn't get away with that where I work. You guys, you're not playing well with the others. It's not appealing. It's not a good look. And what I say, they've lost all perspective. I used to think, and I still believe in some ways, on some level, Nancy is a skilled politician. But I believe she has become so consumed with hate and with disdain for President Trump, she has lost her bearings to pull a stunt like that. Look, what does it say in the Bible? The ancient wisdom says, treat your enemies with kindness. It will be like coals on their head. You want to get under somebody's skin that you hate? Treat them nicely. Be nice to them. And that's the way to triumph. And again, nod to Rich. He quotes Sun Tzu. I'll quote Lao Tzu, the Taoist sage of the most ancient Chinese wisdom. You yield. Yielding is how you come out on top. So when the enemy advances, you retreat. When you follow water. Water is the most powerful force on earth. It bends. It goes down. And so if she hates Trump so much, she should be double nice to him. People will see that and say, oh, you know, he's coarse and he's vulgar and rude, but she is so sweet and nice. We like her. No, instead she pulls this stunt of tearing up the speech and being Miss Sourpuss. And people say,
but Curtis, that's a genius. But Curtis, excuse me, I know Mark and Larkin got to come on.
Yeah.
That's the genius of it. I envy that. I envy it. Respectfully. Not in a seven deadly sins kind of way. A person who's been a politician for 12,000 consecutive days, who is a skilled politician, by the way, who is a skilled politician, who's a Speaker of the House, who, by the way, the only reason she's even in that chair is because of the 2018 midterms. So how do the voters feel about it? So if the voters feel like in the districts we can win in, because there are seats we can win in November.
Right.
Take, you want to get her out of the seat? Go win the damn mid. Now we need to go win the midterms around the country on those House seats. That's what it's all about. And at the end of it all, Curtis, you write for American greatness as I do. You talk about nationalism. Michael, we talk about nationalism. This is what nationalism looks like. America and Americans first.
Yes, you're right, Rich. And I want to tell you something. As I looked at all that went on in the last year, or maybe even more than a year, with these same people just grinding and grinding, I thought to myself, at no point did they ever say, we're doing this for the benefit of American workers. We're doing this for the benefit of America's economy. No, it was done because of jealousy, hate,
right,
anger.
That's right. That's
right.
That's
what they were consumed, eaten almost alive, every one of them. It's really, really sad to see that this is what we're paying for them with our tax dollars. I think this year has to be a revolution in the country where all the Congress people have to be reconsidered. All those that sat there yesterday looking at texts and all this and that, they should be reconsidered by the people who voted for them. I wonder if the people who voted for them in good faith and see a nightmare that has occurred as a result of them helping to go into office. This is going to be one of the most interesting elections in our lifetime. Mark, what do you say?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? You know, did I want everything, Curtis and Rich, and you had said, Mike, I watched the speech, and I've got to say I felt proud and of our president, but how he's weathered the storm and really stood there as our president with America first. And what I've believed in since the beginning is one country, one goal. And his report card, like you say, Mike, we always ask at the beginning, what do we want? And we wanted a report card. We wanted a businessman. But the respect he gave our veterans, hats off, the 100-year-old gentleman, three wars he fought, you know, all the respect to our veterans, all the respect to blue-collar workers. His report card's incredible. What he's done for us, I'm busy because of Donald Trump. I'm in business still because of Donald Trump. And he reported it all. And to me, it was just, you know, a breath of fresh air compared to what you see. You got the caucus before, you know, the day before. You know, Nancy standing behind him that's running the impeachment trial. That's, you know, today they're going to, you know, release the verdict. But just incredible on all the things he hit on, from being the nation's number one oil producer. I believe welfare
reduced.
Was it 10 million off?
Yes,
welfare.
Quite a number of people.
Incredible numbers. Like you said, how can you go against even making things here? The trade acts, going against China. My first shirt was because China's a long drive to work. And I mean, he's hit it all with the new, you know, Mexico Canadian trade deal. Everything's on course, but it was refreshing to see. And the people I've talked to, I've had texts and calls after, and you know, one just Nancy's act at the end is so childish. You know, not only did she rip one stack up, four stacks of paper up. one text, the Democrats are a joke, and I'm a registered one. You know, just, and my father and mother and the people at our shop, just the speech was point on. Like you said, Curtis, the best yet, and what the country needed at this time. I just think the report card, how can you go against the positiveness of that report?
That's right. You're right, Mark. As I said, for years, you and I and everybody else watched.
It's everything we stand about.
Right.
It's our
we
brand.
Watched
like,
wish
we
lists, and this was a report card, which is really what we need. We need to know that we have already come so far, and the journey to the future is attainable in our lifetime. You know, I despised a former president saying, no, those jobs are not coming back to this country. That enraged me because I work with people who like to work. not be given welfare programs. And to hear that, this is not coming back. That's just the way it is. It's the global economy and all. I admire President Trump more than ever because he gave me a new feeling of hope yesterday. And by the way, I was in the coffee shop this morning, and that's what everybody said. They watched because they watched the attendance watching on all sorts of television and C-SPAN and everything else, Fox, CNN. They watched because they were wondering, was the impeachment issue going to be up?
Yeah, and Mike, all
and discussed,
had,
and it wasn't. Yes, Mark.
We had presence of with lip service, not action. You know, we've had a lot of action done. I'm living it. I'm breathing it. It's real. It's factual. Hard to go against it. You know, they're trying, but how do you go against a winner and a winning team?
Yes, you know, even in the state of Pennsylvania, there was something mentioned about the governor in the state of Pennsylvania. There's one thing I want to compliment this governor for. He is pushing jobs in this Commonwealth. He is pushing job training programs. And by the way, once you knock a house down, it's very hard to build it up. Once they took those trade programs out of the school, it's very hard to reinstate them. Very, very hard. You have to redo the classrooms. You have to put up with the most modern technology up for the young people to learn. It's not easy. It should have never happened. Presidents of the past should say, wait a minute, then the national education departments can't allow this to happen. What are our young people going to know what to do? They said, oh, we're just going to be billers and, you know, salespeople. A service-oriented economy was seen as a flop by me 25 years ago. It just doesn't work that way.
What does that show the world when Nancy Pelosi rips up the
It shows that she's a jealous, hateful person.
Jealous is the key word.
Jealous. She's filled with envy. Just everything. I mean, this whole impeachment thing didn't go the way she wanted. Her main objective was to degrade Donald Trump, to bring, you know, any kind of negative attention possible. She was really showing people that she didn't like the fact that a non-politician came in and shook up the whole Washington. And now all those people who walked, can barely walk, some of them, down the halls into the chambers are looking in amazement. They're looking in amazement saying, yeah, it could have been changed. No one ever suggested it. It took an outsider, a non-politician, to do it. Larkin, we want to hear from you. How did you enjoy the speech?
Well, I enjoyed it immensely. Yeah, my father taught me at a very young age, and I'm hoping that I pass that along to my children, that when the tough get going. But always remember, when the going gets tough and the other side gets mad, take the high road. It's one thing that Michelle Obama said all the time, you take the low road, I'll take the high road. And what that Donald Trump did last night was he took the high road. There's so much he could have said in criticism of the two institutions that he was speaking to last night, but he didn't. He really didn't. He took a couple shots, but that's his right as president. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I start my day very, very early in the morning in the gym in cardiac rehab. And this morning it was very, 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 very interesting. It's an older crowd, obviously. It's usually the older people that have cardiac issues. But we're sitting around the table. I think there's probably eight or nine guys in my group, in my class. And I'd say a third of them are military, which is probably the case of anybody up here in Northeast Florida. And the guy sitting next to me, Ramon, is a Cuban. Came over with his parents, broken English, but came over and studied masonry and worked very, very hard and passed along a very, very successful business to two of his sons and a daughter And they are running the business now. It's a huge masonry business that he built from scratch. He turned to me and said, I'm a Democrat. I've always been a Democrat because my parents just registered Democrat when they got here. And I think that what I saw last night from Nancy Pelosi is was awful. Absolutely awful. And everybody in the room, as you went around the table, said that was completely uncalled for. And Mrs. Pelosi, the one guy said, she's got to be a tough one to be around. And one of the guys said, imagine being married to her. And I thought, oh, that's an ugly thought. But at any rate, universally in our little group this morning, everybody thought it was awful, absolutely awful. And everybody basically thought the speech was pretty good, was very good. And again, I think he took the high road. And when you take the high road, you usually win out on stuff like that. But basically, step back. If you're a political hack like I am, for the Republicans, I've been a Republican political hack for 30, 40 years. I don't even know. It wasn't a very good week for the Democrats. It really was a very bad week. You know, there's three events that really kind of threw a hot coffee in their face. Iowa, after everything that they've had to say about Republicans and what they've done at each and every election, when this whole story gets printed and conclusions are drawn, a lot of people are going to be scratching their head about how does a party and an organization as sophisticated as the Democratic Party run a software program that they never tested. Now, I got a 5-year-old granddaughter who knows better than that. Then the State of the Union address where Nancy Pelosi sat on her butt for most of the speech. For some of the people who most deserved the entire room to stand and applaud for them, she stayed seated. And then in what I think she considers as 80-year-old octogenarian statement of fact, she rips the speech up. And she didn't even rip up one thing and throw it down. She ripped it up like three or four times.
Four times.
She was one ripping fool, boy. She was really after it. And then this afternoon, it's the coup d'etat for the Democrats when they're gonna get spanked and sent home. So bad week for the Dems. Really, really bad week for the Dems. Yeah. And by the way, in Iowa, guys, seriously, I don't mind Pete Buttigieg. He's moderate, which is what I am. I mean, Pete Buttigieg, but listen, I've got a son that lives in Virginia could do a better job as being president than Pete Buttigieg. This guy's been mayor of a very, very small town. That's it as far as his experience is concerned, other than a military experience. I don't get it. Dems, that's the best you can do? Really?
Well, I will say this to you.
Good luck with that one.
I will say this to you, Larkin. I really think that the speech yesterday was a real disappointment to the Democratic Party and to any person, not only to the Democrats, to any person that is not looking to promote America first. Because that speech told everybody, we can make America first. We are making America first. And with all of us working together, united as one, we will get to be number one as we should never have stopped being number one. When you think of all the products that are sold across the world, You can go into stores. I ask tourists all the time. I mean, how much American-made stuff do you see? Not much. And the reason is we don't make a lot of smaller things that regular people would buy in the stores in countries around the world. But China, India, Vietnam does make a lot of those small products, and you do see them all over in our shoe stores, in our clothing stores, in our places where we buy home products. They're all made in foreign countries. Those products should be made again in the USA. Maybe not all of them, but at least 50%. And the president yesterday gave people hope. That's what is. You should never, ever have less than hope in your heart at all times, no matter what. When you go to bed at night, you hope to wake up the next day so you can be have another day at the bite at the apple. When what the president spoke about yesterday was a salute to us who are out in the field trying to promote America. He also told us that if we stick to this, Larkin, your grandchildren, your children, Rich, your children, everybody listening, Mark, everybody, all of our children, Henry, will be able to have a better life. We have some light at the end of the tunnel. That's what that speech was all about. And that is why every person, Democrat or Republican, that I met this morning at the coffee shop, and there were a lot of people, said, oh, no, I don't think I can go against anything that he says. There was even a nice young gentleman who made a comment, which I'd love to see, but it won't happen. He said, after this impeachment nonsense, I feel that the both sides, Democrats and Republicans today, should just totally agree 100% to exonerate and put this chapter in America's history behind us. Let's move forward. Let Nancy and Nadler and Schiff and all those people that are consumed take a trip on one of those ships that may not come back. Let them go have a party on some island. It's just really bad news. This is not leadership as far as we can see. It's foolishness. They wasted our time, our money, our emotional well-being. And a man told us yesterday, we can do things on a positive side. We have been doing things. Let's stick together to do more. Yes, Larkin.
I was just wondering if anybody in the crowd, any of our members on our panel, know who had control of the cameras last night. I know that generally, and correct me if I'm wrong, generally they allow one of the networks to bring the cameras in and everybody plays their feed off of that one set of cameras so that they don't end up with all this press in the room. But Curtis, do you know?
Yeah, that's under the control of the House. It's probably the architect of the Capitol. It's a career, you know, permanent government operation. C-SPAN, for example, takes the same feed. C-SPAN does not control the camera. It's controlled by a government employee, supposedly nonpartisan, but we know what that means.
Yeah, right. I found it very interesting. And I'm not complaining. I just really thought it worthy of noting the fact that the white dress women who were, making a lot of noise, didn't get a lot of camera time. Very little camera time. And I was kind of surprised at that.
Yeah, they picked them up toward the end. They were chanting HR3 when the president was talking about lowering prescription drug prices. HR3 is the Pelosi bill, the Democrats' bill for lowering drug prices. And they passed that. The House passed it, but it's not happening in the Senate. But, yeah, that didn't get a lot. And I noticed I was looking at some of the wide shots, and sometimes some of the women in white were standing up when the rest of the for some of the lines in the president's speech, even when no one else on the Democratic side of the aisle was standing up.
Yes, and, I saw that. And I also heard, I haven't really, because my day starts so early on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, haven't had a chance to read a lot about did a handful of the white justices walk out on the speech?
One at a time, yeah, they kind of trickled out. I was reading about that afterwards. Tlaib went, she left when he mentioned Brett Kavanaugh, and Tim Ryan left at another point. He wasn't dressed in white because he's not a woman. But the Democrat, and of course, AOC never came in. So, they were trickling out at different points, and then, of course, had to go to Twitter to explain what they were doing. I'd like to say something about, I don't want to cut you off, so keep going.
AOC wasn't even there?
No, she wasn't even there. She never came in.
You know, I'm going to ask our closing questions. We have some minutes to go, but I would like to ask this question. If you were President Trump, how would you like to see this campaign move forward promoting American Made First? Curtis, tell me, what would you advise him to do?
I would advise him to put more tariffs on, to provide 100% tax write-off for any company building factories in the United States, and to institute some type of country and streamline the country of origin labeling for agricultural products, and streamlining the Made in USA labeling for manufactured goods, and require Made in USA and country of origin on online purchases. So everything on Amazon and any online platform, it has to be clearly and in large print say where it's made, so people can make the choice. They can use their wallets to vote for Buy American, for vote for Made in America. That's what I would.
That is exceptional. Mark, as a business person, what would you advise the president to do?
You know, continue on the same path. Continue to, you know, grow. And Curtis is hitting on a big thing. You know, we believe in more Made in America products, like we believed in always, 50-50 fair trade. And I think he's on the right course. Just got to continue it on. He talked about trade schools, talked about helping that little girl. You know, he showed right in front of the people. He helped her right in front of the people. I thought that was awesome. He knows that we have trouble with our education system. He talked about trade schools a little bit. Just continue on, Mike, on that path and get people to be educated. Yesterday on my show, I had the manager of Texas Blue Jeans and 200-plus employees in North Carolina. The cotton's no problem, but there's one fabric company left in this country that can do the process to make the fabric, and it's a sad thing. And they got a big-name company like Wrangler coming after them, a big lawsuit because they're using part of their name. So, you know, Wrangler and Levi's, it's a brand American but not made here. Texas Jeans is, and I learned a lot there, but the president can do more for these smaller companies that are left here to get more fabric companies going, Mike.
You are, wonderful. That is extremely important. We have to start. Can you imagine that we would only be left with a few fabric companies? It's almost hard for me to believe when the fabric industry was huge all over the United States.
Mike, and she's the manager, Mary, and we can't, they can't make the stretch jean no more because the last fabric company that made it is out, so they're down to one. The cotton's not a problem in the country, but the fabric is.
The fabric, gosh.
And our jeans we sell for $45, Texas Jeans. Wrangler, Levi's, $75 they start at. Think about that.
Okay, guys, you know where to do. Go on Mark's site. He'll fit you up in a good pair of jeans. You won't
Let's
be disappointed.
Get the president wearing them jeans.
Dr. Elogis, what would you do to advise the president?
2 points, Michael. First, enforce our trade deals. Second, the president has
set into motion a middle-class tax cut. Our pay is our money, not the government's money. I have no doubt the president will continue on that. Middle-class tax cut, make sure our trade deals are enforced. And a side note, Michael, last night during the State of the Union counter address from the Michigan governor, Gretchen Whitmer, you guys got a shout out in Pennsylvania because your governor is in opposition to charter schools. What's actually interesting is that charter school choice was once a part of the Democratic Party platform. It's not any longer. So I'll let our listeners think about why they think it isn't anymore.
I would like to know that myself. And Larkin, what would you like to advise President Trump?
I'd like to stress a point that Curtis made. In the 14 years that I've been consulting with small businesses, there's nothing. First base, second base, and third base are all access to capital. You give an entrepreneur access to capital, and everything starts to move, and move pretty quickly. So everything else that has been said by Curtis and all of you is important, but I'm here to tell you, access to capital is number one.
And, you know, I'd like to add just one thing to what Curtis said, and that is he mentioned about giving a 100% tax write-off for the building of new industries. I'd like to give a 100% tax write-off to those companies that will train new employees. That training period should be 100% tax deductible, because we took all these trades, technology, everything out of our schools. So we, in order to get the people who are already young adults and adults back into the workforce, let those companies do that need the employees, because they would be training them for the services that they need within their own country. You know that yourself, Mark, from what you did. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. I welcome your comments and suggestions. You can send them to me at michael@AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Thanks to Curtis, Mark, Rich, and Mark. And, of course, Mark, thank you so much for all you're doing through your website and your broadcast. And also to Curtis, Larkin, Henry, Jenkuyame Barzo. That means thank you very much. We appreciate all you're doing. May God bless you, and may God bless America.